Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 10, verse 26. I'm preaching the second half of the message from last week called God's Touch. So once you get to 1 Samuel 10, 26, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, please. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had touched. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And Lord, we ask again, God, that today you will touch our hearts. And Father, we pray that you will make the changes that we need changed. Each one of us, God, you've made us different. But Lord, we're all the same in Christ Jesus. But Lord, according to our lives, according to your will for our lives, help us, God, to strive and seek after you, Lord, so that our lives can be changed. And we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share a little something that I really believe goes along with this. Yesterday, they had a ladies' conference down in Vienna at one of the churches down there, and Janine went to that. And she came home yesterday evening, I guess around 5:30-ish after it was all over. And I asked her immediately, I said, "Well, how was today?" And when she came in, now I told you, I think we ought to smile so big that you could take your smile and wrap it around your ears a couple of times. I think her smile was so big, she had it wrapped around her ears about 10 times. And she told me this. She said all the ladies that were there, and then it was a smaller country church, and so they had about 30, 40 ladies there. But she said the one thing that really spoke to her heart was that all of these ladies together were helping one another, serving one another, loving one another, and they were seeking God to make a change in their life. And she said there were so many women there that had different needs, and she said that the Spirit of God was so heavy in that ladies' conference yesterday that you could just feel the power and the presence of God's Holy Spirit there. And she came home. I'm not going to say it's not an emotional high, but I could tell that in her spirit that she had been ministered to in quite a few different ways herself. And every evening, we sit down together, and I get a devotional out. We do a couple's devotional, and then I read from the Bible, and then we have our prayer time together. And do you know that the entire time we did our devotion last night, she had the most beautiful peace about her. So I know that God touched her heart just like Samuel had experienced. And I hope and pray that that happens to us, that we'll have our hearts changed. So the next point that I want to make about God's touch is that God's touch conquers. Romans 8:37 says, "We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." And that is so true. Because in this day and age, and even probably in years past, too many times Christians give up easy. And why do Christians give up easy? Well, because a lot of the times we try to handle the things in life by ourselves. You know, and I think that we get to thinking in our minds, well, you know, I've been reading the Bible, I've been praying, I feel good, I think I could handle this situation, or I could go into this next chapter of life and I think I could handle it all right. I can do it. I'm all equipped. And when we do that, I think that's when we're setting up for ourselves what I would call a trap, and it's a way to make us fall, and it's also not trusting God. So the Bible says that we're more than conquerors. So if we're more than conquerors, we have to know that we only are conquerors through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus coming in His death, burial, and resurrection, and Him sending the Holy Spirit as a comforter, makes it to where you and I can stand through anything in life. So it doesn't matter if it's something that comes up in the family. You know, we had a situation arose quite a few years back in our family, and something that dealt with one of our sons and another family member. You know how it is when somebody dies in the family and there's a will involved, everybody wants what's coming to me. What am I going to get? And then when they don't get what they thought they should deserve or get, then we know tensions rise high and there's fighting and bicker and things happen. And I think this was probably one of the hardest times of our lives that we'd ever faced. And we decided to stand firm and trust the Lord with the situation. Now, there was quite a few years that we didn't get to be with these couple family members, and they hated us to the core over a few small material possessions. And we continued to pray, but if we had gone into this situation handling it ourselves, it would have only got worse. But every single day we prayed together, we joined our hearts as one couple, and we believed God to restore and redeem the relationships that had been broken that we thought were maybe going to be severed for good. We didn't know. But turning it over to the Lord and praying, we fought through the battle, but we continued to believe that God was on our side and that His favor was with us. And we knew that God's love and God's strength and power would be the victor in this situation. And fast forward then to just about October of last year, we'd had a death in the family, and we were all gathered together at the church, and you're not going to believe what happened. The son that was away from us came into the church. We didn't know what to expect, and this is what we got. "So good to see you. I've missed you." Tell you what, that was one of the best moments of my life, was knowing that a son was willing to forgive and he missed us so much. So see, when we stick together, when we don't give up, and when we trust in the Lord, it doesn't matter what the situation is. God is the one who should get the praise, and God is the one that we should keep our eyes on. I can guarantee you many times that probably the disciples, as they walked with Jesus, probably faced persecution, and they might have come to a crossroads in their life where they felt like giving up. They wanted to quit. Maybe they thought, you know, this journey isn't what I thought it was going to be, and I've gotten myself into some situations that I never thought I would be in. Because you know what? A lot of times I think as Christians, we want to be in the easy chair of life. We want to receive the blessings. We want to feel good, and we want to enjoy worship at church, but we never really look forward to the battles that come to us in life. And Janine did tell me yesterday, there was a woman there yesterday that had gone through some pretty heavy struggles. And she said there was a group of women that laid hands on her, and they were just praying and believing in faith for this woman. And they said when they got done with that service yesterday, they said that woman had come in with the heaviest look on her face. And when she left, they said she was beaming, said she was like literally glowing. And I thought, see, when we come together and when we start encountering things with God's help, we know we can get over each mountain that we're going to climb. Now, the touch of God gives us the courage to conquer anything because Christ furnishes the strength that enables us to keep going on. You ever heard the story of the little engine that could? You know, I think I can, I think I can, I think I... He was trying to get up over a hill. And in the Christian life, when we're drawing our strength from Christ, when we draw that strength from Jesus, it means that our minds are being renewed every day. It means that our hearts are being renewed and strengthened every day. And it also means that within our own self, we are being renewed to the point that we can say, yes, Lord, I know that I will conquer through this situation today. I know, Lord, that whatever I'm facing, you are with me. Now, Jesus has promised and he said that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. That's through death, that's through sickness, that's through pain and suffering and grief, even in the joyous times. But the Bible always tells us, rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. And you might be saying, well, that seems odd. How can I praise God when I'm going through a difficult time? Well, if we praise God in the difficult times, it lessens the weight that's on our heart and it frees up our mind. Because if we focus on the things that are negative around us, if we focus on our troubles and trials, and if we focus on hardships, then I think that God has a hard time moving in our life because we're not allowing the faith in Him to be at work in us. But if we would praise the Lord, if we would worship Him, then we would find it easier to focus on Him. And when we focus our attention on the Lord, His presence lightens the load that we're having to carry with us. And you know, Christ said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Now, if Jesus is saying, come to me, that means every opportunity we should be at the feet of Jesus and we should be saying, Lord, this is what I've got going on in my life. And I don't know the outcome of it right now, but I trust you, Heavenly Father. I remember some years back, my grandmother suffered a stroke, and she played piano in the church. My grandpa preached, and she played piano. And now she couldn't sing all that pretty, but she could play the piano. And she had suffered a stroke, and it basically left her debilitated on the right side of her body. And I had never seen my grandmother go through so much in her life, struggle and fight, because she was used to working. She was still working. She hadn't retired yet when she had the stroke. But she was so used to being right there by my grandpa's side. She was used to being his helpmate. And now she's in a position she couldn't even play the piano. She couldn't hardly get out of the bed or get out of the house and do anything. But my grandpa pledged to take care of her, and that's exactly what he did. And my grandma and my grandpa together prayed for years, and he did take care of her. And I watched God do some of the greatest things in their life. He gave my grandfather the strength to care for her every need, physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever it was. And one day my grandfather passed away. And when I went down to Arkansas for the funeral, this is the grandest thing. My grandma hadn't been able to really function. And she had been in the bedroom. And when I got to the house, she was laying in the bed. And first thing she said to me was, will you come help me up? She goes, I want to show you something. And I thought, oh. She goes, I lost something and I found it. And I thought, oh, well, I wonder what, you know. I was thinking maybe some kind of a little item or whatever. So I got Granny up out of bed and walked with her. And she walked on into the living room. And when we come out the doorway, she had a piano kind of like this, a little console piano. And she stopped there and she said, hold me right here. And so she turned herself and I held on to her. And she lifted the keyboard cover on that piano and she said, I want you to see something. And my granny stood there and started playing the piano. And it was the sweetest thing I'd ever seen. And I had tears fill my eyes because a woman who had lost her ability to play was standing there some few years later playing the piano again because she had the determination that she was going to do something and she trusted God to get her to this point in her life. Now, as I said last Sunday, as a church, we face many things, but if we stick together as God's people and we let God be the head and we let God lead us, We can go through anything. We really can. But a church, I've always heard that a church that sticks together, a church that prays together, and a church that loves together, they can sure stand through anything that comes against them. I think probably one of the neatest things I heard and learned when I was a kid, and maybe you might have done the same thing, was we used to take our hands. Anybody ever done this in Bible school? That's where we learned it. We would say, here's the church, there's the steeple. Hey, there you go. And when you open it up, there's the people. Now, I never thought of it like this, but look how my fingers are. They're interwoven with each other. And one day I started to really reflect on that. And here I was, 20-something years old, going, here's the church, here's the steeple. Open up, you know, kind of living my kid days. But as I sat there and steadied my fingers for a moment and saw how they were wound and bound together, I thought, if we as God's church would do that with one another, overlook one another's faults and things like that, and if we would lift each other up in prayer and minister to one another and pray, we would be that kind of church. And that's what God wants. God wants us to remain in fellowship. And the devil's going to bring anything and everything he can against God's people because he doesn't want to see us continue to advance God's kingdom. And lastly, God heals. Matthew 8:3 says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Many have never experienced divine healing because of a lack of faith. We cannot expect to please God or receive blessings from Him without faith. And we know that the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we have to have faith. Faith is the key that unlocks the door. Now, if we try to do anything, like I said, in our own power, we're going to fall flat on our face. We really will. But if we have faith in God, which means we're not going to question God, it means we're not going to worry about what, you know, the things of our life or the things we have to do. But if we have faith, just like the leper who came to Jesus. The leper came to Jesus and said, I know you can heal me. I know that you can. And he believed in his heart that he would. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and touched him. And the leper was made whole. And in our life, we might need physical healing. We might need emotional healing. Something might have happened at some point. But we have to have faith, believing that God will touch us and that He will restore us. I mean, my story here, my journey here has been a journey of faith and true healing. I told you this a while back. I needed healing here because this had been torn up and broken and had been hurt. And I didn't know if I could trust again. I wanted to walk away from ministry. I would have rather sat at a desk and had a desk job and never preached again and been at peace that way than ever step back in another pulpit. But that's not what God wanted. Now, I tried to bargain with God, but I wasn't let God heal my life. And instead, I decided to hold on to the hurt and the anger, and it was separating me further and further from God. It was making me to the point that I didn't want to go to church on Sunday really anymore. I wasn't enjoying it anymore as I used to. But having given my heart and trust in the Lord, and then when I came here, I mean, the love. I've been loved on. And I allowed my heart to beat again. I allowed the love to flow again. And I have been truly, truly blessed. You know, I'm just going to say this. Last Sunday, I got over to Harold's. And man, we had the best time, didn't we, Harold? We sure did. Harold said to me, you mind if I share what you said to me about going out to the dock? Okay. Harold said, when I need peace, this is what I do. He gets a bowl of dog food and he feeds the fish. And I really didn't understand at first because, I mean, I used to feed fish when I was a kid, you know, at the pond, but I never really put those two things together. And as him and I both stood out there with a bowl of dog food, and I started throwing the food out to the fish, and all of a sudden, all these fish just come up, and we were having good conversation and fellowship together. And you know what? It made sense. It really did. It made sense because there was such a peace there that day. And so I could see what Harold's talking about. But we were having fellowship together, two brothers in Christ having divine fellowship. And when I left Harold's last Sunday and we went to our family for the birthday party, man, it had changed my whole outlook on a lot of things, Harold. So I was ministered to in a lot of ways myself. But the love I've received here has made my life more exciting and has opened my eyes to staying in the ministry and to continue on. I can persevere through anything with God on my side. But the Bible says that we have to diligently seek God. It means basically you're going after God. You crave Him so much that you desire to be with Him all the time. And I just want to say this, whatever you're going through today, if you'll take it to God and say, Lord, here it is. I can't deal with this. I need help. And you set it down at His feet and you let it go. And I mean let it go. That means what you put it at the foot of the throne of God and you're trusting by faith, you're going to turn away and walk. And you're going to say, all right, Lord, now I'm ready to walk this journey. And I'm ready to be filled. I'm ready to be filled with your peace and your presence and your power. Because we all need healing somewhere in our life. It may be a relationship and it may be a number of things. But so many people today are hurting. But we have got to come to God. And we have to believe that when we ask God for something, He will do it. Now, don't go asking God for a Cadillac or a fancy SUV, you know, four-wheel drive and all that. God wants us to ask according to His will. The Bible says if we ask God for wisdom and knowledge, the Bible says that He'll give it to us freely. Because if we have wisdom and knowledge, then we are knowing how to live by the Spirit and not the flesh. See, the flesh wants to take over, and the Spirit wants, you know, the Spirit. So there's a battle going on. And we have got to yield to that Spirit every single moment of the day. I can't tell you how many times that I have to pray each day, Lord, strengthen me and renew my mind, renew my thoughts. And Lord, here it is. I give this to you. I can't deal with this right now. So it's in your lap. Thank you. I praise you and love you and I trust you. And when I walk away, I feel so much better. The touch of God can bring physical and mental healing. We receive God's touch by reading His Word, praying, believing, accepting, and obeying. I think right there are some of the things we need to really practice in our life. Reading His Word and praying, but really accepting. How many times are we willing to accept? Sometimes God gives us something in life that we weren't expecting. And then we say, well, Lord, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Well, if God brings us to it, He's going to get us through it. I've told the Lord over in my life, I've always asked the Lord, please don't take my wife before me. And I remember one day, it was so strong on my mind. And as I sat there thinking about it, those kind of thoughts started to rob my joy and my peace and started to make me toss around like on the ways of life. And finally, I just had to get down in prayer one day and I said, you know what, Lord? If I ever had to come to that crossroads where You did take my wife before me, I'd be okay with it. Because I know, Lord, that Your love and Your strength would guide me every day. And that would be enough to carry me through. See, we don't understand why we go through certain things in life. We don't understand them at the moment. But if we would trust God and have faith and let God open our eyes and open the eyes of our heart, and if we would see things from God's perspective, we would actually see where He's leading us. And we would see that He cares enough. He understands our tears. He understands our grief. He understands everything we ever go through. Because if you remember, Jesus was persecuted. Jesus was beaten. He was mocked. He was cursed. He had people turned on Him and walked away from Him. There were probably many a time that Jesus was all by Himself. So God understands your pain because His Son went through that same pain. His Son endured the cross for you and I. And if Jesus went through all that, He understands. So the Lord is wanting us to come to Him. And the Lord's wanting us to pour our hearts out before Him, saying, Father, this is the situation that I'm going through, but I trust You with it. You know, I've got so many people that I pray for. I visit people stuff, or I contact people, and I invite them to church and or witness to them. And, you know, they tell me, oh, yeah, we'll come. And I come in, then church starts, and I don't see them here. Well, yeah, you know, I think, I wish they were here. But you know what? I can't let that get me down. I just have to say, Lord, I trust You to put them where You want them to be. I could invite them to church, but God has a place for them to serve. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I just have to say, You put them where You want them to be, or You bring them here. But here's what I believe. If we continue to pray, if we continue to seek the Lord, we will see these seats filled up here. But I firmly believe we have to take care of this first before we can minister to others. So in your life, what is it that you need God's touch on? It doesn't matter what it is. God can deal with anything, and God can meet every need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All Jesus wants us to do is trust Him by faith. Be like Peter. Peter wanted to get out of the boat and walk on the water so bad, and Jesus says, "Well, come on." But you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. And Peter immediately got out of the boat. Let's don't stay in the boat. Let us get up and take that first step and keep our eyes on Him. Because I believe when we do that, everything will fall right into place. And every struggle and every trial we'll ever go through, the Lord's love and strength will be right there to carry us through it all. And I can't find anything better than that. I don't know about you, but I can't find anything better than the love of the Lord.